Good evening, everyone. I'm Joe Montalvo, and I'm here with writers of Futures Winners tonight. We're going to be interviewing a lot of winners from the last 2 years, from Book 36 and Book 37 of Writers of the Future. I have Eric Lim with me tonight, and we're going to put him on with us in just a second. Remember, guys, get involved. You know, I don't want to say this is easy, because I interviewed a lot of people while I was there, and some were like first time, some were seventh time, some were 14th time. It's just, now remember when I say 14th, you can submit four times a year, people. So 14 might not exactly mean 14 years, because somebody asked me at the table, 14 years? I said, well, it might not have been 14 years, but it was 14 tries. You'd have to find out from them how many years it was. But it's very interesting stuff. I learned, and I can't, you know, I hate to even admit to this because I'm 58 years old, but I learned quite a lot of stuff. I learned quite about the authors. You know, I sat through some of the classes with them, which we're going to talk to Eric about that in a minute because I have no idea how these guys were keeping up this pace. I sat through some of the artist classes where I learned all kind of interesting stuff that I had no idea, which, don't get me wrong, I'll probably never use, but it was still interesting stuff to know because I simply just didn't know it. You know how I am. But anyway, we have Eric Lynn with us tonight. And Eric, you're winner from Book 37, Arthur, right?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Eric was a lot of fun while we were there, guys, and I want to just tell you all that ahead of time. So first, tell them a little bit about yourself, then give us the title of the story, and we'll kind of go from there.
Yeah, sure. So I'm Eric Lind. I write science fiction, fantasy, and horror, short stories. I have a few novels out. And the story I did was The Skin of My Mother. That was the fourth quarter winner of the contest. And yeah, you can submit every single quarter in a new short story. And then you can, so that's what you mean by tries. You can definitely do it at least once per quarter. And yeah, and I happened to win, and they had a delay because of COVID, and so we had it this fall, this fall.
I had a lot of fun. Y'all all looked good up on stage. It looked good. You spoke well.
It was crazy. It was over the top.
And ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you, I interviewed Eric while we were down. He did a really good interview, and he got up on the stage. He did his thing. He got up there. He's all confident and happy, but you're a little bit older, and you've been doing this for a little bit longer, so it's probably a little easier for you than it was for some of the other ones there. Even some of the older people I talked to, it was like first times out. There was Nervous Rex and what was it, Blue Eyes? I keep calling him Blue Eyes Australia. He cracked me up, by the way. Dude, y'all can get the interview. We're going to interview him later on, but he was something else. So, I mean, so you kind of established, right? Even how long you been writing?
Well, I've been writing since 2010, right around then.
That's a pretty good time.
Yeah, novels and short stories.
So, if you don't mind, let me ask, what were you doing before that, and what made you decide, okay, I'm an author? Because I tried that shit; it don't work for me.
Well, I worked in IT. That's the day job thing, and it was great and all, but I knew I was going to be a writer since I was sixth grade. I just kind of knew it, and then it was just sort of inevitable. And then I went through college, I was also in a band, so. That helps with stage fright, as I played a lot of gigs where, I play guitar. So I'm kind of used to being on stage. I just decided one day it was time to start writing and sat down and started writing a couple short stories and writing a novel writing and just haven't looked back since.
No, you did good. I mean, and I know they have a lot of things over there. I remember, what was it? Was it a barbecue night or a night after? I remember everybody was running around because y'all had 24 hours to do that story. Yeah. I'm sorry. I was laughing my ass off there. Guy, I know I'm evil people, but one of the assignments they had was to do a story in 24 hours. And I'm thinking, I can't do one in 10 years. I want to see them do it in 24 hours. Everybody's swapping out stuff. It was very fun to watch. Mm-hmm. And I got to say this, and you can tell me how you feel about this. I noticed there was a good bit of camaraderie amongst the winners, which I was surprised by because this is, after all, a competition. So I was kind of surprised to see that. So what do you think drove that, in your opinion? I mean, because I found it interesting.
I think that it was a competition, but we were all winners to some degree there. So we all kind of made it. We all succeeded. We all won. There was different levels, first place, second place, things like that. And there was a grand prize winner at the end, but that didn't really factor. We'd all achieved it. And it was kind of we've all achieved that winner level, whether it was fine tuned to a first, second, third, it didn't really matter. And I think we're just having so much fun and really working with each other and getting advice from each other. And we've all had different experiences, different levels of ability and, different experience with selling books and things. So it was just a lot of fun. I enjoyed talking and hanging out with everybody more than almost any other aspect of the whole contest.
And I can understand that. Why I got to say, I enjoyed watching everybody. I was very, how can I say this? I was very pleased by how accessible the judges were for y'all. I thought that might have been, because I know some of these names. I know they've been around for a while. I know some of them got some pretty big books to their credit, pretty big artwork. So I mean, how was it? I mean, they were pretty excellent. I mean, they had to be to me because I was there for press. But for y'all, it seemed like they were just as accessible, if not more.
Oh, yeah. They were, Tim Powers. I hung out with him several times, even after hours, the bar con they call it afterwards, where we'll just kind of hang out and talk. And, I got to sit and talk with Larry Niven, who's, super, super big.
I scared him for some reason, but
I don't know why. He's pretty, he's been around for a long time he's pretty he's
a big name too.
Yeah.
And if y'all don't recognize these names, either you don't watch television or you don't read. I don't know what to tell you because, I was surprised at who all was there. You remember the guy from Dune was there. I gave him shit, by the way.
Oh.
I told him, says John and a dude, I said, look, dude, I'm serious about my Dune now. I said, if you screwed it up, I'm coming looking for you after the movie. He said, no, I'm doing it the way it was supposed to be done. I said, you have heard other people say that. And this guy's looking at me like he's looking at John like, who is this guy?
Yeah, it was Kevin. It was Kevin Anderson. Yeah.
And he was great. He put up with me completely. He was laughing it off. Mm-hmm. And Dune, it was a weird experience for me because it stopped as it was starting. So I was like, well, wait a minute, what just happened here? I don't want to give it away if y'all haven't seen it. He did a good job on the movie, I'm not gonna lie, but you'll find out when you watch it what my gripe is. It's not even really it's not a fair gripe. He's going to take the book and expand it out the way the book was meant to be. So you'll end up with like 5 hours instead of, 3.5 hours or something originally.
Yeah.
So it was fun. I didn't get to see it there with y'all. I had to catch it later on. Mm. I still remember, John, because we're having steak. You're coming down. I said, nope, got interviews out the wing wing. I'll talk to you in the morning. But it was fun now. There was the after gala party. I guess it was that one. That was interesting. I learned a lot of interesting stuff about people there, but it was interesting to see how y'all all interacted. And I mean, now the courses, what was it? 6 days, 5 days, right? Was it 5 days of courses y'all had?
Yeah. The actual classes. Yeah. Five days. We were there for seven, but it was just prep stuff. Yeah.
Well, I know y'all had to get ready for the dinner and do the when you had to get ready for it and then y'all wouldn't done it and all. And see, I'm glad I didn't have to deal with any of that stuff. I'm just saying, I was glad I didn't have to. I was just sitting up in the wings aggravating people. And especially the press, man. I was all over the press at the gala, man. That's what somebody said, well, how did you manage to get on the TV so much? I said, because I was playing the press, man. I was out there working the press before we came inside. Press is a weird thing, but if they were surprised when I walked them to, look, I want to get all of y'all in this pictures. I said, I want people to see who's out here working this. I said, because without y'all, none of this would be going out. I said, I was nice to them because I've been working press a long time. And they like to be recognized, even if they don't say they do, they do.
Right.
So, I did. So that way, in return, they got me some really good shots inside, which I was appreciative. I really didn't need them. But now everybody thinks I'm like the Godfather or something, but we're just going to leave that alone for now. So where are you headed next? A novel, another short story?
Honestly, it was so much fun, writing that 24-hour short story you mentioned before. And I'm trying to hit up a handful more short stories, send them out, just have some fun with it. And then I'll go back to my next novel that I'm halfway through.
Well, when you get four or five of them or three or four of them, or two or three of them, whatever, give me a call. You got my number now. Just give me a holler. Hit me with an email. Hey, Joe, I got a couple. Can I come on and we can put them out there right now live. This will do. If we were on a normal live night, this would do it close to a million. So tonight, it'll probably be about 300,000 or 400,000. And then the archive will do anywhere from 5,000 to 25,000. Now, if SoundCloud gets its crap fixed, the archive will do anywhere from 100,000 to 500,000. So it just depends what's going on with them until they get their stuff fixed. I'm not going to make myself crazy about it. But yeah, just let me know. I'll bring you on. We can chit chat about it. So what genres, any particular genre you like to write in?
Well, lately it's been more urban fantasy, which was strange because I grew up on epic fantasy and Stephen King. Yeah, so I did a lot of horror writing, but lately it's all been sort of urban fantasy style.
That's interesting. Give the audience an example of urban, because I'm thinking in my head what this could be, and now it's going off in 800 different directions.
Well, usually it's kind of a broad term, but it really means modern day, but there's some supernatural, magical element that's kind of, for example, a lot of people do dragons in New York, or
that's interesting.
Elves are still alive, that kind of thing. The Dresden Files, that would have been kind of Constantine, that was a movie that came out that kind of would be classified as urban fantasy. It's, you know,
yeah, I can see why it would be too.
Yeah. Urban noir.
Yeah. Yeah. That kind of stuff sounds interesting to me. It's more my flavor these days. I like more modern. Don't get me wrong. I grew up on a lot of the oldie goldie stuff. But today, I noticed there's a lot of a lack of imagination. So there's a lot of old stuff being brought forward. And I'm 50-50 on that. So, I mean, some of it turns out to be good. Some of you, like, really, really, did you have to screw up something that was already okay? Let's just leave stuff alone. What bothers me, because, you know, and I was saying this a lot before I attended this with y'all, that I felt like there was a lot of lack of good writing that we weren't using our imagination as much anymore. We were just taking things and rehashing it or stretching it out, or, you know, it's like the 8 to 9 versions of Harry Potter, or the, don't get me wrong, Harry Potter was good, just like Lord of the Rings was good, but it's just like, we just keep remaking stuff. Watch, before you and I die, they'll remake Harry Potter and probably Lord of the Rings. And, and they were done well to start off with. So why mess with them? But I mean, there's like 4 versions of Dune out there, and I like the original. I'm a classic. I liked it. That's just me, people. I'm not saying you can't like the other ones. Before you start writing to poor Eric, he said, "Don't write to me, people." But it's and I do. Well, so I like that kind of stuff. Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's like when the vampires. You know, that's the example everybody uses. That became big with Twilight and Anne Rice's vampires. Then everybody was trying to put vampire books out. You still see them. It was just, you know, and it got so saturated. It's like, well, everybody has one. So it's kind of, none could get really big anymore. Yeah. And same thing happened with werewolves. A bunch of people put werewolves, and then zombie books. People put out a bunch of zombie books. Same thing kind of happened. People try to catch that.
I know right after Anne Rice released her hardback copy of, which one was it? The first vampire book she did. I was invited to the vampire ball she does on All Hallows Eve. And, she introduced us to the real Lestat. Guy looked like a vampire. I ain't going to say, I'm not saying people, the dude looked like a vampire. Whether he was or not, I don't know. But he looked like a vampire. And it was a running joke because she talks about in one of the books that the vampires like they like New Orleans because they can roam around in French Quarter and bite people in neck, thigh, arm. And whatever that person's consumed, alcohol or drugs, they get to experience the high. And it is weird. From time to time, you do hear about vampire bites on people or vampire marks on people in the French Quarter. People don't write to me because I don't know if it's true or not. I'm not going to find out either. But to be all fairness, I spent many, many mornings from midnight to 4, 5, 6 a.m. in the French Quarter. And in the early years, it was not chasing alien stuff or demon stuff. It was, well, we got to talk about what we were chasing. But anyway, it was an interesting experience. But she always puts on a great ball down here. You know, it's a lot of fun, and a lot of the weirdos come. And now there's 3 vampire cults down here. That's how bad it's gotten. Oh, and they all show up, and they're all just insane. I interviewed 2 of them one night live from the place. I was like, okay, I can't interview y'all. Well, y'all going to get us arrested or something. They were talking about how they got their blood and stuff. I said, look, y'all can't. Oh, yeah, nobody cares. Nobody cares. They had a friend that worked at a blood bank, and I was like, look at this. I said, you know, if a cop hears this, you're going to jail, right? I just thought I'd tell you up front.
Yeah, no, I've heard about that, and I know about the balls that Anne Rice puts on. They're really, or I know she still does, but she did.
Well, you know, I don't know in the last 3 or 4 years if she has. I haven't really checked, but in the old days, what we would do is we'd go spend the early part of the evening at the dungeon off of Bourbon Street, and then we'd go to Pato's for a little while, and then we'd head over to the ball because the ball really started kicking. There was always a bunch of famous people there from around the country, all decked out and dressed out, you know, and so you kind of go. And it looks like such and such, but New Orleans is a weird town. We're not really autograph chasers. It's not something the city does as a whole. When there's somebody, you know, I've heard several big like foreigner was down here about 20 years ago. They were walking around on Bourbon, and he got on TV the next day. He said, "Man," he said, "what? I sucked that bad. Nobody knew who I was." And the guy's like, "No," he said, "they just don't do that here." He said, "They just don't chase you around." And I've heard several big Nicolas Cage lived down here for years, and nobody ever bothered him. He said he walked around French Quarter just like everybody else. He said people would look at me. You know, they know that's me. And it's... he said I was getting out my thing one night to give to a lady. She just looked at me, smiled, and kept on walking. I was like, what the hell is this? He said just when he sold his house, because you know his house was haunted as all hell in back. He said, yeah, everybody thinks I'm leaving my house because it's haunted. I said, I'm leaving because none of y'all love me down here. I was laughing. It's good nation. There's been a lot of famous people that hang out around down here. So Urban, that just, now I got all kind of things in my head, man. I'm thinking of like the webbed Spider-Man guy slinging through the urban neighborhood with some kind of demon chain. I know people, he can't write Spider-Man. I know it's copyright if anybody writes to me, but
yeah,
I just got that kind of stuck in my head now.
Well, for example, I have two series. One of them is about a demon who is summoned by the Vatican to help them protect humanity from supernatural entities. But he hates humans, and he really wants to do sex, drugs, and rock and roll. That's all he really cares about. But he's been, you know, it's kind of the reverse of the demonic contract. But it's really the Vatican that did the contract. So now he's stuck helping the Vatican solve all these problems, even though he really doesn't want to.
He's like, no, I'd rather not be doing this. I don't want to get rid of his contract because I'm going to burn in hell or something. But, right. Can we take a break every once in a while?
Exactly. You know? Just wants to have fun and party, and they make him do stuff.
Oh, actually, we had a question coming from Jackie. She wanted to know, she heard us talking about how the judges were, and she said, were they really that accessible? First off, before we answer her question, so 5 days of class is what, 5 hours a day, 6 hours a day? These people were working. This wasn't a vacation. Yeah. Whoever wrote that, y'all crazy. No, yeah. We were working.
We started at 9, and with all the stuff going on, it was usually till 7 or 8 o'clock at night. I know. And then we'd have breaks for lunch and dinner and stuff like that. But no, it was constant the entire time. Now, some of it was tuxedo fittings, things like that, but most of the day was jam-packed with different types of classes, or workshops, you know, however you want to call them.
Yeah, well, I noticed when I wanted to find somebody, I just find one of the workshops. That's like when I was doing the artist. Santos was down there doing a class, and when he was done, I said, can I have the mic for a second? I just took like half the class, or actually about two-thirds of the class up to the room and interviewed. It was just easier that way. Everybody... You know, I know people were tired. I didn't see any frayed or nasty tempers anywhere. I didn't see anybody snapping at anybody. That was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, no, it was lots of work, but it was a lot of fun. I thought it made it good. And for the accessibility, yeah, I could talk like Dave Farland. I mean, he was doing some of the teaching, and I could just walk up to him at any point. In fact, we had lunch, and I could sit with him and talk and ask questions. Tim Powers, like I said, we hung out afterwards. All of them, Eric, and some of them didn't stay the whole time, you know.
Yeah, some of them didn't. Yeah, well, they got careers and stuff and lives and stuff. I understand that, but
they were all, if you went up to them and talked to them, they were happy to answer questions and help out the best they could. And that's what I really loved about it.
Yeah, they seemed to be very responsive to that, and they really seemed they wanted to give you as much information as they can, which I like, because I was down there with Dave at the barbecue. I think we said the barbecue, and somebody came up and asked me about finances. And him and I got into like a 20-minute discussion about finances. These youngins were looking at us like, what the hell? I said, I'll break it down for you. LLC, start off with, if you ain't got a bunch of money, it's the best way to go. Limited liability. Second, S Corp, as your money grows. I said, when we get real money, like Dave over here has got, then you can go to full corporation. And they're like, what's the difference? In a full corporation, you don't pay any taxes. You personally don't pay any taxes because everything's written off on the company. Your house belongs to the company. Your cars belong to the company because you own the company, but everything belongs to the company. I said, it's a different way to play the game. And it's a way better way if you get the money. I said, don't look at me, people, but I'm just telling you how it works. It was, but he was that approachable. He was willing to talk about his finances. I love when him and Todd were having that little tiff tat little thing going on in the one course they were doing. He said, well, I don't necessarily agree with that, Todd. I was like, oh, shit, here we go. But they got along fine. They and Todd was another one who was fun to talk with. And
Todd McCaffrey.
Todd McCaffrey. I'm sorry, people. I'm acting like y'all know who the hell we're talking about here. Thank God Eric's paying attention. But they were all seem, you know, very approachable, very nice. And when I asked them about y'all, they loved it. You know, I said, does anybody have any favorites? Nobody would tell me if they had any favorites. I could get the students to tell me what judges they liked the most, but I couldn't get the judges to tell me. So if anybody asked, the two that got the most answers was Echo and Tom. And so for some reason, they were the two that everybody loved the most. I have no idea why, because they were both crazy as I was, I guess. But maybe because they were good drinking buddies. Maybe that's what it was. I mean, no, they were also very approachable. I got Echo. She was out there the first day I got there. She's out there, got these two models doing modeling right for this art class. So she lets the one go. She said, "Why don't you stand and do these miles?" So she's up there posing the miles she wants. So I'm over there with the camera. She said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm watching you model." So I got you. I said, "I got blackmail for next year now, girl." She was like,
"Yeah,
oh yeah." But they were a lot of fun. But I like Powell. I like Tom. I liked all of them, really. Pretty much everybody, like we were just talking about, was very approachable, which made my life much easier. And then I said, "If y'all give me trouble, I know Emily's phone number." He said, "You're not gonna call John." I said, "I'm gonna call Emily. I'm calling Emily, buddy."
Yeah, Emily's the one.
I said, "I'm calling the boss lady. She's gonna come tear y'all up." But she was funny because a couple of weeks before the thing, she came on. We were talking, we were just promoting it. And she goes, "You know, when you get there, I probably only see you like an hour." I said, "I know you're gonna be busting it the whole time." I said, "If you need something from me, just tell me." I said, "I don't expect to see you." I said, "I'll see you in a couple of weeks when we're back in the air." And she was like, "Shh, shh, shh." And she come rolling in late at night, I got some good pictures, all relaxed and chilled. I can't put them up to let her look at them, but still, I got some good. I got some good of all y'all. Everybody, it was a very good group. You seemed to really be enjoying yourself. And that's what I liked. Everybody seemed to be enjoying themselves. I can't remember the other guys. He was trying in between you and our age. He was relaxed, and when he came up to the room after the gala, he was much more relaxed. I can't remember. I'm so bad with them, great with faces, but so lousy with names. I'll have to go through the list and see who he was, but he seemed to be a little bit with more withdrawn than the rest of the crowd. Kind of looked like he felt a little out of place. I told him, "You got to feel out of place." I said, "Everybody here is having a great time." I said, "Everybody here comes from a different walk of life. There's nobody here doing the same things." I said, "So just relax." I said, "Nobody's looking at you funny. You won. We're all happy you won."
That's the thing. We're all winners to start. It wasn't like in the end, only one of us is going to win. It wasn't that kind of a feeling at all. That was kind of nice.
Yeah, that makes a difference too. And ladies and gentlemen, what we're talking about is the Writers of the Future, the 2020 and the 2021 Writers of the Future Awards. So there was 12 writers that won. Well, I should say 24 in this case. So there was 12 from each year, both writers and artists. So there was 24. I think 40 showed up or 38. I forgot. John had told me, but I forgot. And it was a good group. Everybody there was a good group. And you had a little mix of everything too, which was interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And we've kept in touch afterwards. We have some Facebook groups and things like that. So there was a real kind of, we consider ourselves the class of 2021 and 2020.
That's a good thing, though. There's nothing wrong with that. I'll have to go hunt y'all down on Facebook since I got such a huge presence on there. It's and I told them, too, when I was there that day, I said, "Look, guys, I have 14 public Facebook pages." I said, "Feel free to use any of them." I said, "The United Public page, I think, has about 70,000 followers on it." I said, "Just feel free to advertise. They're all public pages." We tell all our guests, feel free to use them. That's what they're there for. Our hosts use them, but we tell everybody else to use them. We put them up there so people could use them. That's when we build websites, we do them the same way so that they can be functional for people. But we did Facebook because everybody's like, "You're going to make them public?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "I have admins. If somebody gets stupid, they'll kick them off." But I tell people I'll use them. It's a big following. If you use between the three major pages, it's about 400,000, about 350,000 followers. So it's an easy swing. You can put anything out on there. You get responses pretty fast. Even though Facebook's been a little funny with the way they route people through your pages now.
Yeah.
I notice my personal pages, I don't see as many comments about stuff, but on my public pages, it's different. Those are all like media pages, so it's a little bit different with those. They let anybody comment, but still. You can't go next year, can you, if you win? You can't win again, can you?
No, I can't win. I only get to go again if I go as a judge.
Or you go as an artist now, you go do some drawing.
That's true. I can treasure.
Like, I can't draw a stick man. I shouldn't even say another.
No, you don't want to see my drawings. No.
It's so we're going to be giving, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to this tonight, so this is going to be the first book given away. We're going to give this away while Eric's on with us tonight. All you have to do, you have to be the fifth person to write to me and tell me the name of the story that he wrote. That's it. That's all you got to do. And send me your email. Send me your mailing address, and this will be yours. Look how pretty she is. She's hot, whoever she is, man. I don't know who drawing that, but they're hotties, man. But for a runner-up, if the seventh person, or I'm sorry, the first person gets it right, I'll give you one of these. I still got a couple of these left. That's Battlefield Earth. Look at the thickness of this. This book's like 1,100 and something pages. John said, you're going to read it? I said, no, I get the audio version. I'm not reading a damn thing. I'm listening to it. But yeah, y'all can get them. So it's that's because Eric's here tonight. We're going to, anytime we have a host on, we're going to give away. I'm going to probably get some more of those. Oh, you know what I'm doing, though? Where is it at? You'll probably be interested. What did I do with it? Anyway, somewhere in here, I got a program guide from the original night. With not just y'all's signatures on, I got the press's signatures on, and I also got a lot of the judges' signatures on, and some of the staff from, you know, Author Services and from Galaxy Press. We're going to auction this off later this year so that, because we got a couple of book programs coming up for school kids and stuff. And so we're going to be auctioning this off along with some other stuff. And no, people, see these people? Ask me why we're talking to you. Like, see it back there? No, we're not auctioning it off. Now it's mine. Like that. And ever since I put that picture up there, they're like, I want it. I said, go buy one. I can't get that one. That one's a series and numbered and everything. I said, yeah, it's mine. Stay away from it. It's like the pad. I had the box with the pad up there by one of the cars. And somebody seen, oh, you're giving that away? I said, no, I'm not giving it away, people. We gave away a TV legend. We can give you a break here. We will be giving away a couple of pads. I don't know if we'll probably give away a couple of Ride of the Futures. But so I'll tell you what I'll do, too, since Eric's here with us tonight. Eric Lynn, I'm not telling you the name of the story. When we leave in a few minutes, we're going to be about 10 more minutes, and then we're going to leave. And he'll tell you the name of his story one more time. But by then, somebody will have probably already written in. So, you know, we're going to talk about it in a minute. So what inspired you to do this? So, I mean, I understand about your author. So you sit down. You know, I've talked to a lot of authors in my time. So like Nick Redfern, he does a book a week, basically. He tells me his writing process, he gets up at 9, locks himself in his office and writes to 5 and leaves. Now, I know that's not true for everybody. So for you, is it just something that comes in your head? You write when you feel like it? You've got a system?
Well, so when I'm writing, I write. I go, okay, I'm going to spend an hour, 2 hours, whatever I can do for the day. And I just sit down and I do the writing. So it isn't like I don't really necessarily wait for inspiration. I just say, okay, it's time to write. And I sit down and either I pick up a novel I'm working on and I just continue, or I might have a whole new idea that just pops into my head maybe the night before and I'll just write that. So yeah, I don't really wait for the muse kind of a thing.
That's cool. I mean, I've talked to several authors that can write. They just, I call it writing at will. And I know a lot that can. I mean, it's different for different people, but I mean, over the years I've met a lot of authors. I've met some pretty famous ones too. And, some of them have the ability to just write. Like, see with, like, what I use Nick Redfern. I mean, he's probably got 80, 100 books to his name. And he does research and then he writes them. I'm like, what, Nick, you want to write mine for me? Because apparently I'm never going to get it written. I've got the outline of 3 books sitting over there somewhere. My problem is my imagination stops at a point. So when I hear y'all write or when I'm reading stories, there's a lot of filler in the stories. I mean, there's the story, the base story, but there's like, you know, the sun was shining, or the grass was green, or the car was blue, whatever. I call it filler. And even though I took the writer's course and I do understand it better now, y'all do it so, it's like, and I don't want to say it's easy for y'all, but I watch most of the writers I talk to, it just feels like it just comes fairly natural just as part of the story as they're writing it. I wish I could do that, man. I'll tell you what. I'm jealous.
It's the, you know, the idea of creating depth in the image. You know, I've heard authors describe it as you're trying to take the image in your head and put it in the reader's head. And so you put this depth of description and characterization to kind of make them feel the characters, feel the scene more than just see it. You know, so you want to give that whole atmosphere aspect. And, you know, I'll do it and I'll write it and then come back and layer in a little bit more if I didn't do enough. You know, so there is a craft to it as well as a...
That's the best way I've ever heard to describe it. Like taking, I'll have to remember that in the future. All the courses I set over there, I listen to you 5 minutes, learn more. Oh man, shame. I'm gonna give them hell next year. That's it. I get that next year. I'm gonna say, shame on you guys. I learned more from Eric in one night than I did from y'all in a week. No, I'm just teasing, ladies and gentlemen. But that's a good way of putting it. I never really thought of it like that. Still, it ain't gonna help me. And yeah, you know, because, you know, images in my head are stick men. So, you know, what can I say? People, whoever wrote that comment, some people are more talented than others. I could get up there and talk all day long, but don't ask me to draw anything or writing. Yeah, if you want a technical journey, I can write that in a heartbeat. But don't ask me to write a book. Like when they said the 24 hours, I would have had to laugh and say, "Well, I'm going home now." I'll see y'all later. Again, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Writers of the Future, 2020 and 2021 winners of the Writers of the Future Awards. Is a great thing. You know, the people who had so you how much did y'all deal with author services? A lot, or?
Well, I mean, they run the contest, so I mean, pretty much it's all dealing with people that work for author services. Galaxy Press is a publisher, but they also are working there hand in hand.
Yeah.
But we didn't really, other than we didn't get to do a tour because their office is across the street from the hotel. We got to do a tour of all the L. Ron Hubbard and see all their books and things. That was kind of fun. That was about the only thing that wasn't just related to the contest.
Well, oh, that means y'all had to deal with Joni and her crazy self. Oh my God. I thought I was hype. I ain't got nothing on that woman. Lord, oh, yeah. Y'all have to meet this woman to know what we're talking about, but she just, she just never stopped. She was going all the time. We sit down for dinner, right? And I'm laughing. I said, "You're not going to be able to sit here for 5 minutes, are you?" She said, Yeah. Poof, she was gone. Said she comes back. I said, "Well, you can make it for another 5 minutes. No, poof, she's gone.
Yeah, she had unlimited energy. We talked to her at 3 o'clock in the morning, one of the nights, we were talking with her and we were all exhausted, you know, but we were having fun and she just kept going and going. And I didn't know where she gets that energy.
I don't either. I have no idea. She's definitely got some energy. And she told me how old she was. So I was really surprised that she got the energy she does. And I was like, it's like, damn girl, you're making me feel bad. I'm younger than you and you're killing me. But you know what? The whole time I was there, she checked in on me every day. Made sure I didn't need anything, which was real sweet. I mean, she didn't have to. But she made sure she checked on me every day. And then John would check. John and I just would see at breakfast. For some reason, we always eat breakfast around the same time. So him and I would talk in the mornings. And then if it was something special he wanted to see, he'd send, one of the girls to catch up with me, everybody was nice. Everybody worked hard. Crazy woman with the camera running around the whole time that I've mispronounced her name 500,000 times. And then Chelsea was running around with Tim. And I can't remember. Oh, when we were doing a book sign and the girl that was running the books to everybody, for some reason, I can't remember her name. But she put me to work. I shouldn't even stop a fight. She said, "Oh, you're not doing that career. You can haul books around for you." It's like, damn. I said, "I'm press. She said, "No, you're book carrier now."
So well, they put me to work when I finished. We finished our one. We had to get up and go help the other volume do theirs. You know, we were helping to sort.
Yeah, there seemed to be places that we're talking about. They did a massive book sign. I forgot how many books it was. It was a lot, and it was volumes 36 and 37, and they're signing nonstop. I mean, the Echo was like a demon signer. She just, I was like, "What the hell are you signing, girl?" But every now and then the books would hit a snag. So everybody would go over there and start opening up pages and helping them get to the right page so they could sign it. It was a great thing. It was a lot of books y'all signed. I don't know where all of them went. John's supposed to be sending me a set because I had a set that disappeared. I don't know what happened to them. I thought they were in the hotel room, but maybe I set them down somewhere. I usually don't lose stuff, but it's possible because I was running around a lot. But being that they were signed, it's highly unlikely I just set them down. But it was still, I told them send me another set because I actually want to send me two sets because one's from my personal collection, which y'all can't see right now. And the other one is, we're going to give them away. We might put them on auction and give them away one or the other, but still.
They gave a lot to Books A Million and a few other big booksellers to kind of, they can stamp the signed copy sticker on it and put it up on the walls.
Yeah, and they can. And that's a good way of doing it because they were good and they ought to sell pretty good. There's a lot of good stories in it. I'm looking forward to reading yours. I want to read Barbara's Sixers. Something about that story fascinated me from the time she told me about it. So that's two stories I want to look. And I haven't been through 37 yet. I've actually read 36, all but two stories. But I haven't been in 37 yet. I've been trying to, and I keep telling John, "Why don't you send it to me on a audio tape and I'll listen to it on my way to work." But he hasn't done it yet. So, yeah, we're talking about John Goodwin from Galaxy Press, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know who we're talking about. And Joni, and Author Services, they're just two groups. Oh, their offices are fabulous, by the way. I used to give John a hard time. I'm a contractor by trade. I'm a radio host and a contractor. But, I started as a contractor. So, well, that's not even true. I started as an electronics engineer. Anyway, I ended up as a contractor that got into radio. But, the first time I seen John in there doing a show, I said, "Well, I want to see your office when I come in. I always like all that hardwood. They really got a nice setup over there." And I told, what's her name? The French girl. I told her I'm stealing a coffee maker next time I'm there. You ought to get to see that massive coffee maker. It probably costs as much as my house does. This thing is nice. I told her, oh, man, I really want some of that coffee. And right as she made me a cup, who calls me? John, you got to come give a lecture. I'm like, what? I said, John, I just got comfortable. I'm sitting over here with Tom. We just chit-chat. Tom had just come back from some Halloween event riding on some hayride. And I'm like, man, come on. It's a nice setup. And I told him next time they open up one of those, it went right out of my brain there. You know, when they put a bunch of stuff in a thing and stick it in the ground or something, what you call them?
Oh, time capsule.
Time capsule, thank you. And, yeah, I can remember everything but time capsule. I know, that's crazy. But I told them next time they open one, I want to see it. Grinda, what you want to know? You said you've been writing for 10, no, you said you started in 2010, so 11 years, right?
Yeah, I started, really focusing on it in about 2010.
She wanted to know anywhere she can find your work, your story. She said she likes the way you look. I said, what's that got to do with his writing?
Well, thank you. if you go on Amazon, Eric Lind, you'll be able to see everything I have out there, which is about 9 different novels and a bunch of short stories, things like that. I'm also in Fiction River, some of those anthologies. But yeah, if you go look at my name on Amazon, you'll see all my stuff.
Yeah, he's one of the few writers that were there that actually has some credit to his some work under him. There's don't get me wrong, there was 6 or 7, maybe 8 youngins, and they're just coming out good stories. I'm not hating. I mean, A1 that won the thing, but it was funny too. When I was doing his interview, I told him that night, I said I felt like he might have a chance at winning. I told Barbara that too. I don't know why. Must be the psychic empath in me or something. Somebody asked me on the air, well, you knew. I said, no, actually, I did not. I don't know. I said, I don't know anything. I said, I don't know. When I get there, I'm completely ignorant to everything. I don't know anything. I said, everything is anonymously judged. Nobody knows anything until the winners start coming out. And then they start learning who's who. And if you don't believe me, guys and girls, when I gave John a hard time about this. And for about a year, because I didn't believe him. I said, just no way you're charging them something. Some way these people are being charged something, maybe for their hotel rooms or for something. Or they submit and win it now, they got to pay for their trophy or something along that line. But when I got there, he said it was just what he said it was. You submit, it's anonymously judged. And if you win, then you get invited out there and they fly you out there and they take care of you. And
yep.
I was impressed with the whole deal. Writers of the Futures, people, check them out. Galaxypress.com or writersofthefuture.com. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm not asking you that question. You don't need to know if he's married or not. Why, you can fly up to wherever he lives? You are strange. Get out of the chat room tonight. We got some weirdos in here tonight.
I'm married.
See, look at the big ring. See, oh, wait, mine ain't on, but still I am too. So before you ask, I'm jealous now. You ask me, he's married and stuff. Oh, God. We get thinking a little weird. You got him blushing. Shame on you people. Wait. Oh, okay. So, all right, Christine, I'll ask this. So Christine wants to know, what out of everything you've written, what is your favorite piece of work? I know that's hard on an artist sometimes to ask them that because it's.
Yeah, the problem is I like it all. It depends on what you're looking for. If you want more humor, then my Silas Robb series is urban fantasy, but it's got a lot more humor to it, more action, kind of fun. Asylum and The Collection are both horror novels. So if you like Stephen King style, those would be good ones to look at. But I love everything I've done. My short story collection, I'm very proud of. So I have it's called Long Fall into Midnight. That might be a good one to get a sampling of a lot of different stories that I've written. It doesn't have this one. Although I will eventually put it in a collection once I have the rights back.
Well, oh, that's another thing before it goes. I know we got to get out of here, but so that's another thing. So you keep all rights to your story. That actually kind of threw me for a loop because I figured, okay, well, they're paying for all this. They're going to keep these stories and sell them, but y'all get to keep the rights to them, which was.
Yeah, it's sort of a standard with an anthology. So that's the great thing about this. You win. So you get prize money. Then you also get published in an anthology, but you get published like professional with the standard contracts, everything, and you get paid professional rates. But the standard contract usually for an anthology is, we get it for 6 months or a year, and then the rights go back to you, and you can republish it, and they get to keep it in their anthology forever. But Yeah, you just can't publish it in the 6 months to 1 year. I forget exactly what.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, I wouldn't hate on him for that. It's. Yeah. I was impressed with all you. I think y'all all did a great job. I think everybody who came out there was very polite and very well read. That's one thing about hanging out with a bunch of authors. You know, one thing. I'm sitting at the table. They're talking about. I'm like, I'm going to move to go get some alcohol or something at this point. And I still remember what's his name looked over at me. He goes, I said, Jesus, I don't even know half these people you're talking about. I said, I'm going to go catch up on all this reading, man. I said, that's why I told him, I said, y'all need audio books because I don't have the time to read anymore, is what it really comes down to. Right. And I'm not like my wife who can read 1,000. See, like, if she liked Battlefield Earth, book would be read in a day. She's just like, and she doesn't speed read because I took 2 speed reading courses when I was younger. And she doesn't speed read. She didn't skip the words. She actually reads. I'm like, so when we started, when I do a lot of authors and I'm too busy, I'll give her the books and have her read them to me and have them, make her do notes for me for the shows. But I tell the authors that ahead of time because I don't like, you know, telling people I read something if I didn't.
Right.
It's, you know, I'd rather know, hey, no, thank you for sending it, but I don't have time to read it. But, you know, or sometimes, you know, and I said this at the meeting, I told, you know, if you're a rookie and you're getting on air, send the host 10, 15, 20 questions, depending on the size of the interview. You know, write your answers down, send them the questions. I said, after a few interviews, you'll get used to it. You won't need it anymore. I said, you just got to be prepared for the idiot who might think your artwork sucked or your story sucked. I said, and don't get mad. I said, you got the right to get mad, but there's no reason to get mad. I said, well, that's your opinion. And why did you invite me on here again? And, oh, well, you don't like my book. Well, I guess I'm going now, and I'll see you in another time. Maybe we'll meet in the future. But there's no reason to get you, because all you're going to do is they're going to just take advantage of you, you know, because you get angry. That's just ratings for them. It's
right.
And I'm guilty of it.
Yeah, you know,
you do.
Get reviews. I get bad reviews occasionally that I read and I go, I don't know how they saw it that way, but okay. And you know, I just don't say anything. You just move on.
Yeah. I get crazy ass reviews sometimes. But one guy wrote to me one day. He said, "You are the most brilliant ufologist I've ever met. When it comes to politics, you're a complete and utter moron." I said, "Well, wait." I said, "If you think I'm brilliant on this and more on this, maybe you should rethink your politics. If I'm this good on this and my research, don't you think I'd be just as good at research on this?"
Right.
Besides, I'm a centralist, so I'm gonna make everybody mad anyway. So it doesn't matter. No, we're not talking about politics. Whoever just popped that up on the screen. One more question, guys. We got to go. I told Eric I wasn't going to keep him a long time tonight. So real quick, one more. No. Okay. John's asking, if did you read any of everybody's tongue tied? Sorry. He wanted to know if you read anybody else's stories from the book. I'm sorry. For some reason, I had a hard time spitting that out. And if so, did you enjoy it? We can't tell you names if you didn't like them, stupid. I mean, come on.
Yeah. No, I did. I read through both because we got a copy of 36 and 30, volume 36, or volume 37. And I read, you know, I focused on people I knew I had met there more than the others. That I read them all. But I did read a lot, and they were really, really good. And in fact, even afterwards, we're still in contact, and we're sending news stories to each other to kind of get feedback before we send it out into the world to try to get published. So, it really fostered a kind of almost like a family feel. We're really friendly, and we feel comfortable talking with each other about what we're doing and getting each other's help. So,
and that can help y'all in the future when you're getting stuck on something, or you're looking for an idea, or you've gotten something you liked, and then you want to get a feeling of it before you read it. I think that's a great thing. Most of these people look pretty honest. That way they look like pretty nice people. So I wouldn't worry about it. And a couple of them seem to be. Oh, you know Barbara? Well, she'll be on in a couple of weeks. She was going to be on this weekend, but I had to go out of town. She's a copper. She may bust you in the head. I wouldn't get smart with people. You might find that's why she won, because the judges are scared they're going to get roughed up. I know what was going on. No, just kidding, guys. No, she sounds like she's got a great story.
She does.
One of the gentlemen who were there had read it and told me about it. It sounds like it's a really good story. So like Eric just said, everybody was winners. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
You had your grand prize winners, but in the end, every writer and every artist who was there deserved to be there. They won it. They won it anonymously, and they deserved to be there, or they wouldn't be there. And don't think, you know, somebody had written to me, well, how many stories they get, 1 or 2 or 10? I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I said, they go through a lot of stories to get to the stories that are getting to the judges. It doesn't work. There's a lot of stuff gets turned in.
Yeah, they get thousands each quarter.
And no one I met at Author Services wasn't well read. Everyone was. Everybody was. It didn't matter who I talked to. Everybody was well read. And there's a podcast. What's her name? Melver. What the hell? Why can I never remember that girl's name? Maliva? She was the one with the camera all over the place.
Yeah, Maliva.
But Maliva, I don't know why. I always want to say her name wrong. She's got a podcast out there with actors on it, guys. You should go check it out. It's pretty good. She sent me a couple of copies a couple of weeks ago, and I listened to it. So they're doing stories on you know, with actors. So go take a listen. Eventually, we'll get it on a network. I've just been too busy to mess with anything new right now. Other than these interviews, which we already talked about doing ahead of time, my company, my other company, is so busy that getting home for this time is tough. All right, Christina, one more. So Christine wants to know, what do you mean? Does he believe in ghosts? Oh, okay. Sorry. I got that backwards. So she wants to know, would you ever consider writing like a ghost story or like, you mean like Poltergeist, the movie Poltergeist? Is that what you're talking about? I think that's already taken, sweetie. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not sure what to say to that. Eric, I'm sorry. When she wrote it like that, I was like, wait, Poltergeist is not... So what you mean is, can he write something like that? Something scary, hairy, freaky, weird? I think he could.
Yeah, my two horror novels, The Asylum and The Collection, are you know, they have a supernatural element, that a ghost element to it. So yeah, I haven't written a ghost story that's just a traditional ghost story, but I definitely would have no problem doing that. I'd enjoy it, I'm sure.
Sounds like it'd be fun. And Martha, what is that? Oh, Martha wanted to know, your favorite TV show and your favorite movie.
Oh, that's a hard one.
That's what I say.
Yeah, I can't necessarily say my favorite TV show, but I like Breaking Bad, even though that had nothing to do with anything supernatural.
That's a good show,
huh? One of my favorites. Pretty much anything Netflix does, I really enjoy. Dark Mirror was a great series. Mm-hmm. Trying to think of what recently I've watched. Squid Games.
Yeah. Did you see the series? It's not on anymore, but they had the series Altered Carbon on there. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is a good series, but I'm gonna give everybody a little piece of advice. I got a rule about series. When I usually see, you know, boobs and ass in the first 10 minutes of a movie, I don't usually watch it. But in this case, I made an exception. Altered Carbon, there's a lot of nudity in this, as I'm going to tell you. But there's a lot of serious future tech in it as well. Plus, they're doing tech in a way that may actually be feasible for us. It's something our government's already working on, the ability to download your conscious into a chip and then put it into a new body. It's something the government's been working on for about a decade now. They actually announced this. Well, actually, longer than that. It was in 2020 when they announced it. They announced working on that, working on gravity and magnetic drives. And the Navy and the Air Force started officially looking for people with telepathic abilities, not remote viewers. They actually closed that program and opened a pure telepathic program. Yeah, that's our government money at work. Whether you believe in it or not, doesn't matter, because the government surely believes something's going on to institute two programs. So all of that would be interesting in a new world. Favorite movie? I don't know. What's your favorite movie?
You're not gonna like it. You're not gonna like it. But my favorite movie is probably really cheesy. It's gonna be Conan the Barbarian.
I ain't nothing wrong with Conan. I love Conan.
Yeah, I don't know why. There's other more thoughtful movies. More, you know,
Conan was fun. That's why.
Conan was a blast. Yeah,
Conan was fun. Plus, I loved Arnold.
Yeah,
it was great. Oh, people come up, you don't like it. I don't know what to tell you. Yeah, Red Sonja was. Red Sonja was just Conan chasing a woman around. That's all. No, I loved Conan. I had a blast with it. People, because some movies you're not supposed to take seriously.
Right.
I mean, you can enjoy it and have fun and watch the movie. You know, it was like any other, you know, movie back from way back in the past. It's just Conan was, you know, a little bit more or a little less talkative, we'll say.
Right.
But he was beast of mine. Literally kick your ass.
Exactly. A lot of fun, you know.
It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed the movie. It was a lot of fun. See, stuff like that I enjoy watching. I mean, I don't get into much serious sci-fi anymore because I don't really have the time for it. But the last serious TV show I got into, as far as sci-fi goes, would have been Expanse. And it is. The best thing about Expanse is, I guess, is it's probably a closer reputation. I can't talk tonight. Thank God I'm not live all over the world. but a better representation of the way we'll actually get into space. It really portrays the way man will be in space before we can go faster than light or even really fast at all. It shows how we're going to colonize the solar systems. It's with the exception of the blue glob or alien stuff they found, other than that, it's pretty really close. Same politics, you know, how things would form out in politics. Same reason I used to like Babylon 5. It was a close representation of how we'll live in space and be in space and our politics in space. Because people always tell me, oh, we're going to change. So, no, we're not. We're going to take our politics with us, you idiots. We're not going to change. It's going to space with us. I say, I heard Elon Musk already telling us he's going to build Elon Muskville. I'm thinking, you ever seen Moonraker? Every time Elon says that, I think of Moonraker.
Right.
I'm thinking, brilliant man, crazy man, billionaire man, going to start his own colony on Mars. I'm getting worried. I'm just getting worried. But Eric, you've been a blast, man. I always love talking to you. I can't. It's a shame I won't get to see you. I have to check you out on the Facebook page because I like to keep up with people all the time, especially people I enjoy talking to. Like I said, you get anything new, or anything you want to put out, if you just want to chit-chat, you got my number and my email. Don't ever hesitate to hit me up because we're always looking for guests. And, you know, we have 28 live hosts on the networks that are always looking for guests. Okay. So I'm going to pass a couple of y'all around since you've already got some books out there. I'm going to let Jeffrey know. Jeffrey hosts the Church of Mavis. So he does a lot of strange stuff. He's just whacked in the head, but he's a lot of fun. And no, I love it. He is whacked. Michelle DeRoche and Amelia Pisano, they also do a lot of authors and stuff. Like Michelle is Canada's most haunted. This girl's got a TV reputation, is tall as she is, and she's a pretty tall girl. Amelia does, she's a pretty damn good psychic, and she finds missing people and missing babies for the county Mounties, or the Mounties up there in Canada. So they both got pretty good reputations. And then we've got America's Most Haunted on air with Michael Angley. He's always looking for guests and stuff. He hosts Discovery Paranormal. So looking, because we got the people from the Horsefly Chronicles, that really weird-ass haunted house up there in Pittsburgh. They're on the network. We got all kind of hosts. We got Pittsburgh Paranormal, which is Chasing Prophecy. They're always looking for guests. They do a lot of authors themselves. Let's see. Dell does a lot of authors. Monday nights is now. John's on Monday. I'm on Monday. Who else is on? Oh, Laura Lee's on. She does, I guess New Age would be the best way to describe her. She's she likes a lot of conspiracy too. She likes that conspiracy stuff. She gets mad every time I talk about it. But like seven of the ones I just mentioned are from Canada. Wow. And then there's always Spaced Out Radio with his name, Scott, Dave Scott. And they're always looking for guests. They're like coast to coast in the fact that they have 3 hours to fill 7 days a week. You know, so they got a lot to fill. But I was telling everybody, and this might be true for you, next time you're out and about, or tell 10 or 15 or 20 of your friends just to write to coast, address to Lisa Lyon. If you get like 15 or 20 people, they'll call you and put you on their show. And George will either bring you on for the full or the hour or whatever, but they'll bring you on. That's the very first time I ever got on. I was on the air one night and I said, look, I want to go on coast to coast. I need 100 people to write. And they had 500 wrote in. And they called me the very next day.
Okay.
And I've done them four times since then. I've done them four times and I've turned them down four times. Not because I don't like them. It's just they always call me when I'm in the middle of 5 billion things. And they call me on a Friday, you know, or a Monday. Don't call me a Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. I can't do it. It's impossible for me. Besides, I host on my own. Denise, no, we're going. No, Eric's been great. We were only supposed to be in 30. We're already up to 55. So we got to go. Y'all tell.
A lot of fun, though.
Give them. Y'all want to. Well, I don't know if he wants to give y'all crazies his email. Y'all a little strange group tonight, well, man.
You can go with eric@ericlynn.com.
There you go.
This
go visit simple. His website. Yes, and leave nice reviews, people. Go read his books and then leave nice. I know all of y'all remember this. All
honest reviews. So let me be nice. Just be honest.
Yes. All y'all weirdos I know in here tonight, okay? So I know where y'all all live. I know some of y'all. We got people right now. We got people from the Ukraine. We got people from Israel. We got two people from Pakistan because I recognize their crazy-ass typing. And Jill is in from Turkey. We got a bunch of people in from the U.S. I see quite a few people in from London. And, you know, it's a wee hours in the morning in London. It's like 2 a.m. over there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're like Janine tells me all the time, we're her coast-to-coast in London. I'm like, well, that's great. I'm glad to hear that. She's, you ought to do it 7 nights a week. I said, not a shot in hell. I love all y'all, but I'm not doing radio 7 nights a week. Maybe I could talk Eric into it, but I'm not going for it. No, that's all the questions tonight. Eric's great. He was great when we interviewed him. So y'all know this now. He does an interview of Eric on UFO Paranormal Radio. It's on the uploaded section of the site, of the Facebook page. Not the Facebook, the YouTube page. So you go over there and find him over there. Probably mislabeled, but just look. You'll see his lovely face. It's on there. You'll see it. You can go take another listen. It's only 15 or 20 minutes, but we talked about a lot of crazy stuff. And all the people were hyped doing it. So yes, you can listen to all those interviews. And there's a couple that are confusing, but we'll talk about them on another night. Eric, you were great. I really appreciate it, man.
Am I supposed to say the name of the story?
Oh, yeah. Give him the story now. Tell him what it is.
The skin of my mother.
Yes, the skin of my mother. Yeah, I don't even talk about my mother's skin. I'd be getting whacked in the head by something. She's gone, and I'd still get whacked in the head. I can see it in that bold light bulb come through my ceiling. What you said, son? I know it sounds like a good story, doesn't it? Yeah, it kind of sounds like one of them twisty-wisty kind of things when you said skin of my mother. That could go a lot of different ways, man. Look at you. You already thinking about the horror story from, what's his name? Not Jason, the other one. The one's mom lived in a hotel. I know who y'all talking about.
Oh, yeah, Psycho.
Yeah, there you go. Yes. You don't look like Psycho people. Y'all crazy. Jen, thank y'all. Appreciate it. Visit the website. Read his material. Go buy a book, people. It's Christmas time. Amazon.com, Eric Lynn, look him up. Or look him up online. Either way, you can find him. Remember, I'm going to check my email in a little while, so somebody's going to get that book behind me. Oh, y'all going to make me look right now, aren't you? Damn it. Hold on. You're lucky I got it open. Let's see. Oh, yeah, it is a lot. Okay, Mark Stevens, you got Battlefield Earth book. Yes. So, yes, and I see you put your address in there. Let me see who won. Oh, hold on, email. Behave, email. Let's see. And, oh, there it is, number 5. Paul Malone. The ladies won tonight. How weird. Paul, you won this one, right, you? I got your address. It'll be going out in the morning. So there you go. Be sure to enjoy it. His book is on stories on 271. You can skip right to it or you can read there.
Which I should think. They're all great. Yeah.
But you should thank Eric, because without Eric, y'all would not have got that book tonight. I'm just saying, you would have had to wait. You'd have to wait till next week, because I'm on politics this Friday night. So I'm off Wednesday because I'm working too much work, and Friday night we're on politics. So, you know, I don't give books away on politics nights because we tend to hack people off. It's one thing about this network. You'll never find any other one like it. No one in here has the same politics. There might be two liberals and two conservatives, but everybody else is different. And no one has the same religions. So it makes for great panel shows. Yes, makes for. But in all fairness, and I don't want to hate on them, in all fairness, it's a good group of people, because when the panels are over, regardless how heated they get, everyone's still friends afterwards. And we still work together. So, and I have been known to tell people, you know what? Did you go even read anything, you dumbass? I mean, really, come on. Did you read anything? Yes, I can be mean, be what I want to be. But Eric, again, thanks for coming on. I had a great time with you.
Thanks,
Eric.
Then,
ladies and gentlemen, be sure to go check out a story. Y'all can find it, of course. Here you go. John will love that. I keep plugging this. There you go. L. Ron Hubbard's Writers of the Future, volume 37. Let's do like 37. Be sure to pick it up, though, guys. You can find it at Galaxy. Oh, I'm sorry. You can find it at GalaxyPress.com. You go right on the site and boom, you can get it. And they have all of, matter of fact, John sent to me, I just gave away from, was it 34 through 36. He sent to me the first 5 before that. So I'll be giving them away as well. We also got books from a whole line of other artists. If like y'all could see them at my desk, you'd see them. But we're going to give away, we gave away 500 books last year. We're going to try for 1,000 this year. 1,000 books and a TV set. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, you know, and well, no, the TV will be part of the auction along with the program guide, yes. And that's just to help out people who need to read. Louisiana, Mississippi, I live in both states, and they have a really, not going to say this politely, crappy literacy rate, okay? I figure, and that, and a lot of these kids are not being introduced to sci-fi until they're much later in life. So they're missing out on a whole joy. Sci-fi is a great thing. It can help kids through a lot of stuff, men and women. You'd be surprised how many of my nutty, crazy friends use sci-fi to make it through their adolescence and teen years into adulthood, which they all turn out to be pretty good adults now. So I don't know if they're writers or not, but still, I don't think it matters. But anyway, again, thanks, Eric, for being here. Guys and girls, remember, you can check it out. We'll be doing these fairly regularly. Carmine setting them up for us from Galaxy Press. Be sure to check in. Once he sends me the whole schedule, I will post it on one of the sites so y'all can come check it out as well. But be sure to check out Eric's work. Be sure to check out Writers of the Future's work. Send Emily an email and tell her you love her. Yes. Tell her Joe sent it. I'm sorry, I was evil on my part. No, Emily's a sweetheart, people. Don't do that. Yes. The only one I know who sent her stuff that I told to send is Amelia. One of our hosts on the network sent her a box of Canadian candy. I mean, when I say a box, I mean a box, like a big box of chocolate candy. She sends it to me once while she sent me some Canadian syrup a while back. She goes, you got to send it back, Joe. There's a shortage of people. I said, you're not getting my syrup. You can forget it. It's mine. But we got to go again. I've been keep yapping away. All right. Thanks again, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for everyone tuning in tonight. Any moans, groans, bitches, complaints, or gripes, you can reach Michelle DeRoche anytime you want to. Because you know what I'm going to tell you? So it's a waste of time to write to me. Good night and stay tuned for Laura Lee Potvin with the Angel Rockers or the Rocker Angel.